This is the City of Tukwila Transportation Infrastructure Services Committee. I'm calling the meeting to order for Monday, April 4th. There are no presentations that I see in the agenda. We'll move straight to business agenda, which is public workshops. Phase one update comes from Harry Pronikowski. And this is the forward to the committee of the whole on the third. On this.
Good evening. Committee members, Harry Pundikante, Public Works Director. What you have in front of you is the Public Works Fleet and Facilities Tenant Improvement Project update. And while we are giving you the update, we're also giving you a status update, the exterior work that needs to be done on the same project. So far, we were able to tell you a good story that we're on time, on budget, except last January, we had to extend the time. So that was a time extension at no cost due to supply chain. But now we're at a point where that that time extension now has turned into financial cost overrun. So with that introduction, I would like the project manager from SOJ, Justine, to kind of run you through the list, and then I'm also here to answer questions. Justine?
Hello. Does everyone have the memo that we had sent out?
We do have it before us. And you may want to know your screen is just showing from your nose down. So
okay.
You might want to pass up. Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Sorry about that. So would it be easier if I share the document or?
I think we all have it in front of us.
Okay. Let me open it in my end so that I can answer any questions. So like Director Hari had indicated, we have been going really well until January came around and our project delivery has been delayed due to multiple reasons. But we're still under the authorized council authorized budget at this point, so we're coming back to request for additional authority for funding to finish out the current TI project, as well as move into the next phase of work, which will be the exterior scope, including the upgrade of the roofing scope. So there's a lot of tables on the memos. I don't know if there are any questions regarding the numbers or scope.
I think we got 15 pages here. It'd be nice if you could tell us where the increases are and why.
Okay. So,
Justin, do you want me to go over there?
Yes, if you already have that document in front of you, don't mind.
Okay. So, Council and the committee, what happened, the story that we're going with is the current overall budget for the project is 9.75 million. And so that's in on page two, table one, it shows the current public works budget, 9.75 million. And expenses to date, 7.259. And anticipated remaining cost, 790,999. That is on the tenant improvement project, we're expecting $790,999 worth of expenses left. We also have $1.7 million left in the budget that needs to be used for external work, which is estimated at $2.7 million. So let me explain you the $790,999, the anticipated
Well, just so you know, you break up a little. Given the weather today, it's not a surprise, but it's hard for us to hear you right now.
So Harvey, we're going to go to Justine. Can you walk us through the tables on page 2?
Yeah. So I think he was trying to explain the table that was numbered as 3, $790,999. So the that number is comprised of anticipated change orders, about $198,000, mechanical lift equipment move and install of $65,000, additional site security along the perimeter of $20,000, and we're holding about $30,000 for hiring the movers. And as we have anticipated the management to complete in January, and now we're going into April, there's additional management costs. And then we usually hold a reserve amount for post-occupancy contingency, which will address any of the issues that might arise after people move in. So that comprises the total of $790,999.
Okay, any other information?
So the way I try to organize the table is that the top one small table has the numbers. So current project, current public works budget at 9.75 has a number 1 titled to it. So if you go to the number 1 below, it has the details and such. So public works expenses to date, number 2 has the column that follows the number 2. So hopefully it was pretty self-explanatory. I know we are including a lot of tables and numbers, so that's what we try to do to organize the tables.
Anything else you want to say?
So then council members, really I was looking for, it looks like Harvey might be back now, but Justine, the bottom of page 2 and the beginning of page 3 is really what the conversation is here with the council, is there's $2.7 million worth of exterior work that we would like to complete, but that is more than we have council adopted budget. And so there's two reasons for that. One is that those supply chain issues did catch up with us on the interior work. And as we actually did the design for the roof and the siding and the storage, those costs went up. We wanted to make sure that all that interior work that you authorized, that we would protect it. And we believe this $2.7 million will protect your investment for, it's a 20-year guarantee on the roof and the siding. And also, we can have a longer conversation about some of the storage to make sure that we protect our investment with the waiver that we have, that we need to build some of that storage soon.
Okay.
And then the last thing is that table 4 gives you the numbers, that 2.7. We have 1.7, so we have a budget shortfall of $1 million. And so you can go on table 4. You can see that it's the roof work, the exterior envelope, and then the exterior storage. Those are the three things that would do the exterior that we're looking for council, the conversation and council authority. Where that money would come from is the sale of the George Long shop. When we originally budgeted that in the public safety plan, it was authorized around $2 million. We believe that will be higher when we actually do sell that to King County. It'll be higher than that. So we can use some of those additional costs of $500,000 would cover the general fund portion and $500,000 would be from utilities, which we do have funding in utilities to finish that. So that's kind of the summary. We do have Ms. Kim and Mr. Ponaganti as well. I know that we're just having some connection issues, so I just kind of jumped in there.
Is there anything else you want to add, either of you, Kim or Hardy?
So, committee, I do want to say that we're very thankful, Public Works staff, especially Fleet and 50s staff, we're very thankful for all the support you guys have shown. The interior work is done. The tenant improvement, it's in a great, really great shape. And I have just taken a tour last week, and some of our staff are online on this meeting, this to show solidarity, how important this is. Again, thank you for all of that. I just wanted to close the request based on that. Thank you.
Great. Questions, comments, Councilmember Abdi?
Thank you, Harvey and Justine, for the update and the report. Just want to say, there's a lot of tables and numbers, but it was very easy to read and very easy to grasp. So thank you guys so much for making it easier for us to, you know, follow through and the work that you guys are doing. My quick questions would be, so we have, you guys just talked about the 1.7 million, the external work. And today we're trying to explore some of the funding plan for the projection completion costs. So I guess my first quick question is, what is like the top priority that you guys want us to, you know, get attention of?
So thank you, Councilman Rabbi. That's a great question. Justine, you want to give the order that we talked about, the roof and all the other stuff?
Yeah, of course, it would be great to have all roofs and exterior and the storage shed all completed, because roofs will give the building 20-year warranty, so it'll extend the life of the building, of course, and then the exterior wall repair and painting would give it, you know, exterior protection as well, and the storage facility will grandfather in the approval from DOE. But if I had to pick the order of priority, I would say roof to protect the TI work from being damaged, and then storage to protect your ability to develop the site, and then the exterior wall is vertical. So if it does have some compromises, then you can maybe do it in a later phase. But to be fair, I mean, we've done all this work on the inside that looks great. It would be highly recommended that you protect it from the horizontal and the vertical side as well.
Thank you, Justine. That was very well said. Thank you so much for that. And like I said, I know that even, you know, Mr. David Klein also mentioned, yeah, like the protection storage is a big priority for you guys. And you guys said like the roof is first, you know, if you were to do it in the chain of the order, roof first, second, the storage, and then three, the exterior wall. So thank you for, you know, kind of clarifying that for me. And my other question was, you guys mentioned on page five, where it's titled Tool of Public Safety Projects, you guys talk about the change order status. So there's an approved date of $755,680. Do you guys explain right here the next bullet point after, there will be one or more change orders. Can you explain to me what those one or more change orders will be?
Yeah, when you're finishing up a construction project, the payment and change order work usually is about a month or two delayed, because we receive the proposal first and we evaluate it and negotiate and approve, and then they come back and we approve the negotiated sum, and then they go back and install the work. So some of the scope of work that we're talking about in that, included in that, would be additional concrete footing support for some of the equipment that are moving over. Those were unanticipated costs, because the current shop floor did not have a separate footing for those. So the designers didn't really anticipate that, but then when they went through the construction phase, they learned of how thin the existing slab was. So we needed to strengthen the pads for these equipments to come over. So there will be a couple of other additional change orders that could result from some of the inspections that we'll be anticipating getting from the city inspectors as well as the fire department. So it is typical to have a couple more change orders that trail behind the completion of a project like this.
Okay, thank you, Justine. And my last question is the 1.7 million remaining on the top of our paper here. Can you mm-hmm. please explain to me, do you still feel like that's enough money to do the top priorities that you guys want to do with the roof and the storage and everything like that, the 1.7?
So the 1.7 is what's remaining in the currently approved budget, and we're yes. seeking approval for additional 1 million. So the total, as you can see in the table 4, is 2.7.
Right. Yes. Okay, I just want to, because that's why you guys are seeking more money, because yeah, it's going to need a little bit more additional cost to take care of all the needs.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Thank you for the clarification. I appreciate it. Thank you, Harvey, and thank you, Justine.
Councilman Sharp.
So this is the new Mortar Works building that's located just...
Fleet and Facility building.
The new building, right?
Yes.
And so when you guys were doing the upgrade, because I wasn't here for the beginning, right? So you anticipated about $10 million to do this work. Why didn't you guys, why did the city budget for doing this roof work when you were doing the project to begin with?
We did budget a portion of this, but when we actually got to the actual bids, the bids came in much higher for the actual roof work that we have. And as we did the project, Ms. Kim and Mr. Ponikenti can jump in here, is we did budget dollar amounts for these different sections, but the actual marketplace and the actual bids were much higher. And as we looked at the roof and saw what the roof needed, the costs actually for the roof were much higher than the bids that we originally received.
So in addition to what was just described by Mr. Klein, is that in the original project scope, the roof improvements were quite minimal because we were trying to, you know, look for ways to do it the most efficient way, that the roof was planned to be just coated with a less elastomeric coating that would give you maybe 3 or 4 years of protection. But when we looked at it carefully, the roof itself is sort of fragile, and when the staff had gone up to the roof to do repairs, it was creating more damage than they were able to repair. So we decided to upgrade the roof improvement to come with a 20-year warranty system. So it's a lot better quality of roof protection than what was in the original budget. So a lot of it is comprising of upgrading the roofing system to protect the investment that's under the roof.
I understand.
Yeah, also committee members, the other part of the story about the roof is the roof was included in the original budget, original bids, as a additive alternate bid item. And on this particular project, the bids came really favorable to us. However, the first two low bidders walked away from the project, stating that they really low bidded, they couldn't do it for that amount of work, for that amount of money. So Lincoln happened to be the third lowest bidder. However, they walked into the negotiations with us saying, we will take this bid except the roofing, because our roof contractor gave a really low number, and we cannot function under that obligation.
It had an error. Yeah.
Right.
Their number had an error.
Correct. So bottom line is three things have forced us to now sit where we are and deal with the roofing. One is the original contractor, the low bidder contractors walk away, and then the actual low bidder that took the project didn't want that as their alternate bid item. And then number three, but the most important thing is the roof itself, we're finding it out, just like with any old building, once you start opening it up, once you go in, you start finding out that some of the components are in much worse shape than what we originally anticipated. There was a degradation. So therefore, the roof needed more work than what was there. And to make matters worse, the supply chain delay, contractor will not even procure this material until 6 months from now. So contractor has to sit on the site, pay their guys, or mobilize and demobilize. So I just want everybody here to understand there were quite a few things that the project team contemplated with. We tried. There were some of these things that were outside our control.
So after procuring this money, is the building done?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it does say that there's some other things that council member Abdi asked about, these revised things. So at some point, is there a potential that administration is going to come back for additional change order requests for additional things? Or can we, I understand the project as far as, like, you know, things come up. But like this potentially, this is $755,000 that just come up. Mm-hmm. So is there going to be any more? I mean, or is this like this is done, the building's done?
So this is our best estimate of when we go out to contract. We'll either use Lincoln or go out to bid. The council will actually authorize those contracts. We'll have a contract for the roof, the siding, and the storage. And that's when we'll finalize the cost. And I think Mr. Bonacenti can jump in there. But we believe this, and that's why I saw a couple of head nods. We do have contingencies on the interior and the exterior spaces to deal with any bids that might come in higher than expected. But this is our best engineering estimate of what the current costs are for this right now.
And then it refers to coming to the utility. I don't know what that means, $500,000 from the utility. What does that mean?
So the fleet and facility building supports both general fund functions, which is our street department. These are street sweepers and, you know, signs and things like that. It also supports our utilities, which are paid by the rates. And we have already budgeted for this building in our, this would be our sewer, stormwater, and water. Utilities. So when we say utilities, that's a shorthand for those three functions of water, sewer, and surface water.
And then when this project is done, if you're doing the job accurately and the best of your ability, the city should get $231,180 back at some point if you're doing everything right, because that's the contingency portion of the project, right?
We would hope so. And actually, we did have contingencies that were brought back in the first phase of the public safety plan.
And where does the money go? Like, where does that money get allocated? Does it just get stuck in an account, or does the city get it back?
The city gets it back and decides how you want to allocate it.
Well, I mean, it's the people's money. So,
yeah, it is.
So do we just have to find, we have $231,000 just sitting around. We're just going to spend on something else. Or how does the city give that money back to the people?
So we would come back to you at the end of this project, and in that scenario, we would have only spent 2.5 of the 2.7 in the best case scenario. And then the council would use that money, and we would not have used that money. Then it's allocated as the council chooses during your budget process.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Before this came up, how are we going to spend the money from the George Long property?
So the original plan was $2 million was to go to pay for public safety projects. The current estimate with King County is that it's going to be about a $4 million sale. So there's $2 million more coming into the city budget than was originally anticipated when the council adopted, if you remember, I'm looking at Councilmember Crowler, option B back in 2018.
We were lowballing, so this was our estimate. So good. That's
so
good.
And that was the council's direction that we started using land sales. Since we're not going to be using the George Long, because this is replacement for the George Long property.
How sure are you that we're going to come in at the floor?
I think that we're 95% sure. The council has already authorized from last year to negotiate that deal with King County, and we're just finalizing those deal terms right now.
So the next question I have is, as a project manager, I look at this and I see nothing has anything to do except possibly our construction management costs with the delay because of supply chain. What I see is a bidding process that went south on us. And I think the third out of three that's still sustaining is asking for more money. So my first question is, since even if we ordered right now, we wouldn't get it till late summer, which is also a concern, getting roofing materials up at that time of the year. Is it really a rush? Is it really a rush? And should we recast our bid? Because we've got two bids that were, frankly, lies. And a third one that wasn't reliable. Seems like we would take those reputations and go, thank you, and recast our bid and find somebody honest.
Right. So I think if I can recap, make sure I get the question right, and then I'll give it to the project team, is that you're concerned that right now the current contract is with Lincoln Construction, and they are doing all the interior work, and we'll be able to finish that. For the exterior work, your question is
on the roofing.
Right. For the roofing, how do we get the best bid with the right contractor for the bid?
If I were to stand in front of the public and say we have two that basically didn't tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
and walked away when we held them to it, mm-hmm. the third one gave us a low bid through some kind of subcontractor that they're going through. So now I'm trying to figure out if Lincoln does actually do roofing or if they just hire other roofers.
Mm-hmm.
I know the market's changing. The price of materials is going up, so that's not a big surprise. But when I see two out of three, maybe they didn't even want the job, because mm-hmm. I know plenty of contractors who do it just to help the state or the mm-hmm. city or anybody else get the contract process completed and meet the minimums with bidders.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very concerned if I had to sit with the resident and say, we really didn't check the market out, mm-hmm. did we?
Well, can so, I, sorry.
Right. I think the question is, how do we get the, make sure that we're getting to your residents, that we're getting the best deal for the right roofing at the right cost?
Just a fair bid that's honest.
Yeah, I agree.
So I've thought about going back to bidders.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we keep track of them mm-hmm. that underbid like that and walk away on it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we bid the project, the two lower bidders were way lower than the engineer's estimate, and Lincoln also was about $600,000 lower than the engineer's estimate. So it was definitely a good value that we ended up working with Lincoln, who honored their bids except for the little alternate part. And they came with a very good reputation. We checked a lot of former clients from school districts and other public entities, and they had really good references, and we have experienced that that was true. They've been a great low bid contractor to work with. They haven't really played the low bidder game of charging for a lot of change orders that wasn't warranted. So I would say that it would be the city's best interest to negotiate a change order to do this work, because if we keep the good contractor to do the whole entire project, then the warranty falls under that good contractor. If we go out to bid and procure a different contractor that does smaller scale work just for roofing and exterior painting and so forth, there's a danger with ending up with faulty work and not being able to protect the investment on the inside, because there's going to be finger pointing between the one contract to another. So that would be my professional opinion on that, because we have checked the engineer's estimate against the Lincoln's bid, and it was $600,000 lower.
So I do want to add a couple of points to what Justine and David Klein has mentioned. Number one, in the low bid system, in the contract itself, it's written that if the low bidder reaches out in writing within, I believe, 48 hours from the bid and prove that there was an error or some sort of their subcontractor that walked away from their quotation that they got, it is allowed to let them go from the contract. And there is another reason why people in construction industry, it's prepared that way, is you don't want to hold on to a contractor that's on his back foot to begin with. In a low bidder system, then you know starting from day one you're going to have a guy or a team that's going to keep wanting to add change orders. So that's the general professional background to that. With that, I also want to say Lincoln Construction has proved out to be a really nice old-fashioned construction team that they want to honor their word to the most part. And I agree with Justine's recommendation that they have really helped us and a quality contractor. Thank you.
And the reason that the first two bidders had walked away was that they were both relying on a mechanical subcontractor who was not competent enough to provide a good number. So they both had the same subcontractor submit the faulty number. And luckily, Lincoln had a different mechanical contractor that had the good number. So that's why we ended up working with Lincoln.
Okay, so our decision here today, thanks for all your answers and your honesty on this. Our job today is to say whether or not we want to forward this on to the committee as is. There's nothing that I think any of us are going to change in this committee. So what I'm concerned about is if we do a consensus, it's just to move it forward. It's not an approval or an endorsement by us of what the numbers look like. Because
mm-hmm.
I personally think that all seven of us should be looking at this big of a change
mm-hmm.
with this much surprise. Because this rings, mm-hmm. it rings and sounds a lot like other projects we've worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And when we mm-hmm. have estimates that are well below what's going to happen, and $1 million is a lot of money, guys,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we upped it, what, several hundred thousand just to make sure we had the seismology done correctly.
The council added a higher standard of seismic ability.
Yeah.
I think it was actually about $1.4 million you added to this project to
right.
get to a higher seismic standard when we went out to bid the first time.
And I guess I've got one more question on, I guess it's three, the mechanical lift equipment. That's just the equipment that we agreed to enhance and go to.
Right. So you authorized the purchase of the equipment. This actually is going to install it in the end.
Right. So did you mention the install costs when we were talking about approving the equipment change out?
I'm not sure if that was in, I don't think it was in the, unfortunately, I don't think it was in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just as an improvement going mm-hmm. forward, I think it'd be smart to give us the total cost of ownership.
I agree.
Purchase and those kinds of decisions, as we understand. Okay. So where we're at, council members, is I'm just going to look for a head nod to move this on to the rest of the council to look at with all the changes. Are there any other numbers or anything else that you want added to this report? Any explanations added to this report?
I just have a question. One other question.
Sure.
Is for folks like myself, where is George, what is George Long Shop? What is the location of that? So like if someone's watching this video, they're going to be like, what is the George Long Shop?
So the George Long Shop is on Interurban, just south of our golf course. It has been the fleet and facility building where we take care and do the maintenance of all our fleet right now. It's I think, a 1960s building that we had purchased, I think, back in the 1980s and refurbished for us. It's a smaller facility. Doesn't meet our current standards. And it's also where we also do our custodial, our facilities maintenance is also in that.
Okay. And then what you mentioned is that it's being sold and the projected cost is about, I won't hold you to it because market costs change, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at somewhere over $3 million, which would cover part of this.
Yes.
And then some of that money would go to the public safety in some fashion.
It will go back into the public safety until the council authorizes it to be used.
Yeah.
Go back into the public safety plan.
Okay. It's a windfall, although we hadn't planned on spending it this way. That's why I opened up my questions there.
Yep.
And we are in conversations with King County to sell that property right now for, I think, 1,000 reasons, but they also wanted the shoreline along mm-hmm. the river for the reclamation efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm just looking for head nods to move this forward to the council,
mm-hmm.
and I want to just somehow very clearly state we weren't making a decision that this is the best path
right.
we'd rather have. The whole council have a conversation about this.
Right, and it's up to this committee. You can, we would like to go out to bid. It will be, the recommendation from the staff is to go next week. If you think 2 more weeks and we come back to you again, that would delay us moving forward on this. But if you think more committee time would give you a consensus or better ideas to go for the full council,
I think
the staff is open to that as well.
Give the council and then let them decide
okay.
together, all of us together. That's a substantial amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even though it's like, oh, yeah, we got a windfall.
Mm-hmm.
That was money we could have put into traffic calming. And it could have been money put into another thing that we had a
mm-hmm.
pretty high priority on.
Yep.
That's a loss because we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think be prepared to explain in great detail the three items, the roof, the paint, also the roof, the storage, and the paint.
Yep.
And it's like right down to the math eyelash on cost there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then the only cost, I just want to be clear, from delaying from supply chain issues was the cost of construction management.
I don't believe that's the case. I think, I'll put it back to the project. It was that there were some costs on the interior, for
yes,
example.
Yes,
I know that.
More unanticipated change orders and added necessary scope. So it wasn't just the management cost.
That's not the predictive one about the slab, right? There were
Sorry.
Other, there were other change orders besides the one you talked about.
So
maybe coming up based on the footing and slab. And then potentially from the city fire and code inspections.
Yes.
Yeah, so let's get a – what I'm hearing is that we should be prepared to talk about any other cost overruns on the interior spaces.
As much as you can.
As much as we can.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good homework for us to do.
Death by a thousand cuts really upsets us as general as a council. So I think it's good to take a look ahead and figure out what's really going to cost.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Thanks very much, everybody. The second item 2B is public safety plan, public works building tenant improvement project. It's an amendment number 4, and it looks like Justine's going to talk some more.
So, I'll speak on behalf. I'll start it, and Justin can add to it. So, this right in front of us, this is the overall contract for the fee project management of SOJ for Justice Center Fire Stations, and then the Public Works part of it. And since the time has extended from January to now, there is not a whole lot. It's under $40,000, but in the, that's $39,240. But we wanted to bring it to you and be transparent that this is the increase in their cost. But I also want to say that Justine and her team has done a really good job supporting Public Works, especially when I was in need. I was the interim. I didn't have the extra resources, and they are well connected with the construction industry, and they did a great job. But ask is it's under 40,000, Mayor can sign it, but we wanted to have the full transparency discussion with you, given how big the overall contract is or was to begin with. Thank you.
And does this team have anything to say as well?
No, thank you for your comments. Sorry, I really appreciate it. We try to do our best to provide the services that the project needed. It's typically very challenging to work on a rehabilitation of an older structure. So we try to be very judicious with our time, and managing the construction change order processes have been very streamlined. So we're going to try to continue our efforts and close out and achieve substantial completion and move forward. So we were hoping to already be done by now, but because of the delays, we have, you know, burned through the original proposal, and we need a little bit extra fee to complete the project.
And just before I ask other questions from the other council members, the $39,240 here equates to the $40,000 you were trying to describe in the first.
Yes, it was rounded up. Yeah.
So, okay. Council Member Sharp.
So is this just billing time, the $39,000? Is that what it is? We're paying her for her, not her, Shields Oblitz Johnson. That's the company, right?
Yes.
That's the additional time to do your work. That your this amendment is just, hey, we're charging you $40,000 more. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. And then
There's a whole team that's supporting us. And we also have Matt Stratuski, who's their budget person. And then we also have Paul, who is the actual field construction manager. So this $40,000 reflects the whole team and their time together. Thank you.
And how much time over did we need them to accumulate $39,240? Like, how much time was it?
So it's in your package, page 19. So if you look at the overall hours, so you're looking at 110 hours for Justine, 30 hours for Paul, and then Matt, 60 hours for Matt.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Councilmember Abdi.
Thank you, Hari and Justine. Yeah, this is honestly, you know, well written. You know, like I see what the services are needed and the timeline. So, and you know, Councilmember Sharp asked good questions. So I don't have any additional questions to add. So, thank you.
Okay. And then I just have one small question, and that was, I put a mark out so let me find it again. On page 16, underneath the chart, says the project management quality assurance consultant has reviewed these documents for both amendments and provided his concurrence.
Sorry, that was an old note that was carried over. That's really sad that we didn't catch
that. I love him greatly.
Very sad about that.
Yeah, so maybe we'll get that struck by the time we get
Thank
to the council.
You.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, and my assumptions are that we've reconciled all OWGs in that mm-hmm. person's direction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We won't say anything subsequent to that. All right. Council members, we have a head nod to move this on to the 4/18 regular meeting. So it's going to go straight to the consent agenda as is. All right, that's unanimous. All right, moving on to item 2C, Riverton Creek Flap Gate, my favorite subject. Removal project, change order number one, not my favorite. Is Mr. Perfetti actually going to speak first?
I will, yes.
Thank you.
Hello, good evening. So this is the Riverton Creek Flap Gate Removal Project, and this is a surface water utility fund project. This is actually about phase two, so you're maybe familiar with phase one, which is nearing completion, and that's where we actually removed the flap gates and daylit the creek. Phase two is more of the landscape restoration component of this, and it includes 2.2 acres of restoration along the creek, in particular the 2.2 acre backwater wetland area just adjacent to SR 599. We are completing the contract on that with Outwork Enterprises, rather. And they have done the weed control, a lot of reed canary grass and Himalayan blackberry. They have done planting and been irrigating for a year now. And so the contract is ending. And what we're coming forward with you today is to approve to forward to the consent agenda a change order for 2 years of maintenance. We have a 10-year maintenance agreement with WashDOT. This much of the project occurs along SR 599 right of way within WashDOT property, and we have a 10-year maintenance agreement with them to maintain this restoration work, and that's about what it takes to do this, to keep the weeds down, to keep the plants alive and healthy. This change order that we're looking at would be for 2 years of additional work, which would focus on weed control, irrigation, adaptive management, meaning replacing plants as needed, litter pickup, and other items like that within this project area. The request is for this change order would be for $57,031.80, raising the contract total to $163,122.40. And you can see the fund sources are coming. We have the green CIP, which is largely intended for this work, restoration work and habitat restoration follow-up maintenance. And we recently applied for a $40,000 grant from Raya Nine's Regreen the Green Fund, and have been told that we are highly likely to get that funding. So that would reduce the amount of city funds going into this. So the request here is to approve this contract change order number one and forward this item to the consent agenda on April 18th.
Councilmember Robbie.
Thank you. Good to see you, Mike. It's, I like the fact that you guys applied for that grant, and you know, it will it's looking good that you guys are gonna be able to receive that. And I don't think you're asking for anything crazy, so yes, I support this. So yeah, no additional questions.
Councilmember Roddy, it's good to see you too.
Yeah. So what happens is, so they're contracted with us currently. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
And their contract ends, I'm sure it's in here, but can you just for me, when did this contract end for them?
The contract expires, I believe, April 30th of this year.
Okay. And so they go out and they do vegetation management, essentially. Like they spray, and then I looked in here and it says that they pick up garbage and they remove debris, that kind of thing. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Do they remove any other stuff that might be in that location, like a refrigerator or debris or stuff like that?
I think the items intended for sort of general litter that you see along roadsides, the answer to your question is maybe. It might depend, might be on a case-by-case basis.
And so how often do they come out to service the location per year?
In this change order, they are proposing to maintain the site, I believe, during three occasions during each of the next 2 years. And during those site visits, that's when they would do, actually the irrigation is on a timer, so that can be programmed, but the actual plant maintenance, weed control, and litter pickup would be about three times per year.
Times per year. And then if they weren't doing this work, who would do this work?
The alternative for this would be to go out to a bid and to go through the public works bidding process to select a bidder.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you, Mark.
So I'm just going to refresh, Mike. Is this the creek that's across from the Heiser building, across the river from
is.
There?
It
turned out beautifully along the riverfront, and the art stuff, which does not follow you, was great. When you walk back into that area, because I took my dogs down there, my first impression was probably this is good. It's really, really steep down to the waterway where the flap gates and everything used to be. And there's like, it looks almost like a pond. If you go a little further back, it would be in front of the winery that's there. So there's this whole parking lot behind the building complex. Is that on purpose, that it's that steep?
So if I understand what you're saying, the creek is relatively confined by the roadway on one side and the parking lot on the other. And so we were working within the limits of that. And we were able to actually gentle out the slopes near the confluence. It had been steeper, but that is why you do see some angular rock in that area is for that stabilization scour protection.
Okay. And they're just going to keep the bar passes back. I hear the word spray. Are we actually chemical spraying?
We do, yes. And it's not so much spray as it is foliar treatment. So it's very selectively going around and treating the invasive plants. And there are approved herbicides that are used for that. And the city actually approves that through the urban environmentalist.
Good. I just got concerned if we're trying to help up a salmon and all of a sudden we start dumping chemicals into the water. Would that be at cross purposes? Okay. The amount seems... I've actually done volunteer of this nature without the spray, and believe me, the amount that they're charging per year on this seems more than reasonable to maintain it. And do you ever expect it to be more park-like, or we're just going to maintain it the way it is?
Largely speaking, the only public access part of Riverton Creek Flapgate Removal Project is right there at the bridge. There's also a new viewpoint that was installed that has an interpretive sign. That area along the highway and, behind Office Park, there won't be any planned public access at this point.
Okay. So the reason I ask is that across the way from the winery is an area where between 99 and that space has been heavily used in the past by folks who were unhoused. And so is it part of their job to keep after encampments that may have been used and left behind as well, or is it just within like 40 feet of the waterway?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure what you mean by the winery.
Okay, there is a winery back there.
Okay.
So if you were to go straight up the creek from the little bridge area, it's very narrow.
Okay.
Then it opens up into what there is a winery, literally 90 degrees to the open up area, where there's ducks and stuff, and they refer to it as a pond because they don't know. And it's a very pleasant area. It's a pleasant view and a pleasant area. If you were to go off to the right, people have come down from 99, seen that it was a beautiful area, and made encampments in the past. So is this maintenance within 40 feet, or is it quite a big area where they're going to try to pick up garbage and stuff?
Yeah, the maintenance that we'll be undertaking is limited between the Office Park and the 599 off-ramp.
Okay.
In this particular area, I have not witnessed any encampments, just fair amount of litter.
Yeah, we're talking across 10 years here. Just serious. Okay. Head nods to move this forward to the consent agenda on 418. Council members? Okay, we're good there. We're moving on to item D, stormwater outfall, water quality retrofit project, King County Water Works grant award. Mr. Perfetti's going to try again. And same idea for consent agenda item.
Thank you. This project, the stormwater outfalls water quality retrofit project, what we're doing is installing water quality treatment devices, in this case on two outfalls that treat roadway runoff before it enters the river. And this this is improving the water quality of the river for endangered salmon and other fish, as well as, positive impacts for those that utilize the river. And we have 90% design drawings complete, and we have applied for and received this funding. This one I'm going to talk to you about is King County's Water Work Grant Program, and we have applied for and received $189,275, which will be used for the construction of these two devices that I just mentioned to you. The other part of this grant that's kind of interesting is that, they really cater towards community outreach and support. And so we have partnered with a group called Sustainability Ambassadors to use this project as a case study in their educational curriculum. Tukwila Schools is one of the school districts that they partner with. And so what they're doing is they're going in to the schools and finding teachers to help teach this sustainability curriculum, which has to do with water quality, salmon habitat, open space, and health and well-being for people that open space provides. And so that's going to be an interesting component of this this grant. And we have ranked very highly for another grant from the Department of Ecology, and that's going to be the main grant that helps push this through. And that one's for $1,037,948. And that's going to be our match once that becomes official later this year. We do have enough surface water utility budget to cover it in the meantime. So our request to you is to approve this Waterworks grant for $189,275 and consider it on the consent agenda on April 18th.
I'm trying to, just for instructional thought, I'm trying to remember, David, is it like grants that are over $40,000 that we go through this process for?
I believe
all grants.
I thought it was all grants.
Okay.
Because there was the current council policy is when we apply for grants, we ask and also, so that's why we're here. I don't know if there's a threshold. That's a good question. I'll have to go back and look.
Okay. If anybody's hearing a dog barking, we're not in our home. It's most likely one of our police dogs.
Right.
Canine unit. Okay. Councilman Sharp, questions?
I don't have any questions. Thank you, Mike.
Councilmember Abdi?
Yeah, cool question. You guys said the money is pending for the grant amount of the $1 million. Is there a status update with that? You know what I mean? Because, do you feel like it's likely that you guys will get it, or is there any update to that?
I would stop short of saying I guarantee it, but we ranked very high, 33rd out of 147. The final offer will come, and we actually got, that's the draft offer list, 147 projects, so it excludes projects that they're not going to fund. The last remaining item is for the state legislature to approve it, and we're expecting to get, to be coming back to you probably in the fall or late summer to request your approval for that grant.
Oh, nice. And then my last quick question was, you talked about the course study, with the School of Schools, and yes, there's going to be people doing case studies on this particular thing. You said that it's going to be interesting. So I'm trying to figure out, how does that play a part again in this whole situation? Are they part of the grant, for it to get approved or something like that?
Yeah. This is sort of a unique aspect, and it's something that we put it in for two reasons. One, it made our project more appealing to the grant committee. The other reason is we feel that, strongly about trying to, incorporate the community in the work we're doing. We feel like we're doing a lot of really good work, restoring salmon habitat and restoring water quality. I know the kids are are learning some of this, and I think it'll be really good for them to get a, to get this case study. And so what that looks like, I'm not sure, but I think it's going to, the one of the components will be that there will be students or student ambassadors who will take on this project as a case study, post it on their website, and use it as a teaching lesson for, you know, for other students.
Oh, nice. So is this going to be taught in a specific class, like in a high school class or something like that? Or
I think so. So there's a web-based component to it. But yes, this Sustainability Ambassadors curriculum is a teaching tool that they come up with the curriculum. That's the teaching tool that is actually taught in the classroom.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I like that because, again, I was in high school not that long ago, and you know, I'm just thinking to myself as a student, you know, I love that when we get the opportunity in our school curriculum to learn about something that's going to impact us or something that is around our surroundings. You know what I mean? Like, it makes me think about financial literacy. I didn't have that growing up, you know? So I think, you know, something like this that you guys were able to, it's knocking down two birds with one stone. It's helping you guys with the grant, but it's something very beneficial. I like that component to it because, you know, I think this could be very beneficial to students as well. So thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome.
Okay, and I don't have any questions, so if we're comfortable, we're going to move it to the consent agenda for 418. Am I good? All right, we'll move on to the next item. It's a raised grant application regarding the Strander Boulevard extension. We're going to have Brittany speak to it, and this is a result of bringing up the fact that we weren't going to use the raised grant application process to go after 42nd Avenue Bridge because we have enough money. And so we're trying to imagine our way into another potential. Now we'll find out whether that's going to come true or not. Take it away. I don't know who's going to take it, Hari or Brittany first.
I can go ahead and start out. Thank you for the introduction, Councilmember Kruler. So as Councilmember Kruler mentioned, you saw me just a few short weeks ago regarding this grant for the 42nd Avenue Bridge project. And so since we recently received funding through the Washington State Transportation Package, as well as Congress, that project is now fully funded. And so we have been brainstorming some different ideas for which project might fit the RAISE grant. And so we determined that the Strander Extension Phase 3 project would likely be the best option for this grant application. So that project is one that started back in the 1980s, and phase one and two were completed by Renton. And so in 2016, the city started design of that project for phase three. And into the design process, it was discovered that the project was going to cost closer to $84 million, whereas before the estimate had been $39 million. And so due to the increase in that cost and funding stipulations, City Council made the decision to terminate that project. However, due to the bipartisan infrastructure bill that passed last year, there's more money available through grants than there has been in a very long time. And so since that is the case, we are hoping to apply for $20 million for this project for design and right-of-way funding to determine if we can move this project forward. And so we're asking for committee approval to apply for that $20 million for the RAISE grant for the Strander Boulevard Extension Phase 3 project.
Councilmember Robbie.
Thank you, Brandon. Good to see you again. We got to meet at the Allentown meeting, so good to see you again. And thank you for this presentation. My quick question is, as I'm trying to get more familiar with this, you know, this whole phase and where we're going, you said that you guys decided to go with this option, the standard project. I was wondering to just get more context, what were the other ones that were on the table before you guys decided to pick this one?
So we looked at a variety of projects within our transportation department. Really, this funds surface transportation programs. And so just based on certain thresholds of the grant, I mean, generally this grant funds large regional projects and has a minimum requirement of $5 million in funding. And so just based off of that need alone, some of our smaller projects were cut out. And so really this was determined as the only viable option for this grant.
Thanks for that. And then once you, as you guys apply for this $20 million, grant, how much do you guys still have remaining? The 39? So the, you guys would add the 20 to the 39?
No, that's a really good question. So on pages 49 through 51 of your packet, I've included three different CIP pages. So the first one shows the project cost estimate in 2017, which is when we were in the initial design. And then in the 2019 CIP, we increased it to the $83 million, which was the new estimate that we discovered. And so we did apply for some grants at that level back in 2018. And then we did some kind of preliminary cost estimates this week, just trying to determine what the escalated costs might be. So there'll still be a lot of additional costs for construction. We don't know exactly what those are. Trantech Engineering is putting together an official cost estimate for us. They're not quite finished with it, but we should have that within the next few days.
Okay, nice. So thank you. Now that helped. To add on to that, if let's say everything goes well, you guys are able to get to 20, is that the only thing that was missing, or it's kind of hard to tell because you said there might be some additional as well. So, I'm trying to have a familiarity with what you guys have working with to add on to this space contract. Yeah.
Right. So, Councilmember Abdi, we have changed our strategy on how we're going to apply grants for this project because of what happened last time. So we're dividing the project into design and right-of-way acquisition, and then construction and construction management. So as of right now, we're only asking for $20 million for the design and right-of-way acquisition. And if they give us that money, with the design being more solid and going, the more design we have, the better idea we'll have on the cost estimate. And also, the reason we want a right-of-way acquisition is if we are able to obtain a couple of properties that we think are key, that might bring the overall cost down and make the project more of a possible grant appealing over the next phase. So that's the strategy. That's why you're only seeing the first part of it. That's for the $20 million.
Thank you, Harry. That makes perfect sense. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you, Brady, too.
Councilor Sharp?
So the project initially was $84 million. Is that right? How about?
It was initially $39 million and then increased to $84 million, and then based off of our current projections of inflation, which it might be more, it might be less, we're estimating around $140 million.
$140 million. Okay. There's a lot here. I didn't get a chance to really absorb it all. There was other minutes there as far as previous council weighing in on it. So forgive me if I'm asking questions that I should know already. I'm just trying to figure out, get my head wrapped around it. So the $20 million that you applied for a grant, that sits in an account somewhere, and it will sit there indefinitely until we get whatever that final number is to do this project, essentially. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. So we're not, but at this point, we don't know what the construction cost is going to be, and we are not going to guesstimate that for a reason, because we want to have better design. So that number could be 100 million, in and around 100 million. It could be more, but we're waiting for that number to come from the consultant. However, the number that we need to fine tune, the number that we need to be on target, is the very first number. That's 20 million. And if they give us the 20 million, you're right, Councilmember Sharp, that will sit in an account, and every time our design consultant make a pay request, that will go from that account. And once that money is drawn, and then if the right-of-way acquisition is done, then for the land sale, that will come from that account. If no right-of-way acquisition is done, money is left in the account, it will go back to the granting authorities.
But the granting authority, I don't understand how they work, but they're giving you the money to spend how you want, or they expect this road to be built?
There are certain stipulations, council members. So the stipulations are usually there's an obligation date, deadline they want. They want you to finish the design by a certain day. They want the land acquisition done by a certain year. So there are commitments from their side. But as far as how the road goes, they will hold us to value engineering and make sure that we're constructing it to the best, cheapest route possible. So hopefully I answered your question.
Yeah, it's kind of a huge dollar amount. Let's just use $84 million. I know it's not going to be that. It's going to be more because of inflation. But let's just say $84 million. On a project this size, in your expert opinion, how much grant money can the city acquire to offset the cost of that $84 million that we're using that number? Because we have 20. Let's say we get the 20. Yeah, where are you going to get the rest of the $84 million?
So the last time the funding model for this project was we went to FIMSIB, the Fleet and Mobility Board in Olympia, because this will move the fleet from 405 to 167. So it's a huge corridor they anticipate. So they gave us $5 million last time, so we're going back to them. And the Transportation Improvement Board will give us additional money to improve that intersection where the tunneling will start on Strander, right at the intersection of West Valley Highway. So they're a partner, and we need some money from the state transportation budget. So if you look at the CIP page, the recent CIP page that Brittany has put together, I think we're expecting everything but about $2-3 million coming from all our partners, and the $2 million are under from the city. That's our best estimate at this stage. But Brittany, do you have that page? Can you elaborate a little bit more, please?
Sure. So it's on page 49, and so basically we pulled out some potential funders that have either funded this project in the past or similar projects within the city. And so our hope would be to start with the design. And so this is a $20 million no match grant. And so once we get through final design, usually it's a little bit easier to start procuring additional funding. And so once that happens, we can always go back to RAISE and ask for additional phases. So that's where the construction monies might start coming in. The Washington State Department of Transportation has a few funding opportunities. The Transportation Improvement Board, or TIB, has some funding opportunities. And so based off of that CIP, we made some kind of preliminary estimates. And so it just depends on the grant cycles. And but that's our goal on that sheet.
Okay. I thought I asked a kind of a straightforward question. You just kind of talked a lot, so I'm not trying to be rude, but $84 million, $20 million, we're going to get that $20 million. So at some point, the residents are going to have to come up with the difference. So my question, I'll ask it again, is there a way that this money can be raised without having to go to the residents of Tukwila to pay for it?
What's on page 49?
I understand, but for people who can't read these 100 pages that's sitting in front of me, I just want a simple answer.
Okay.
So the simple answer, I'll just jump in here, is on what you have in front of you is the CIP. It asks for about 4 or 5 different granting places that we could get grants. Councilmember, you are correct, though, that these are all competitive grants that we then will need to apply for and be successful to finish this project. And so that's why we've listed all these possibilities of these grants as we move forward on this. And the last time we did this, and I know that Councilmember Garlow, is that we were successful on getting grants, and that moved us forward in the design. And then we got a better design that was more expensive than the grants that we had.
Because, I mean, I'm looking at that bridge. It's 27, probably going to be somewhere over that number. And that was a challenge for the city to get that money. And that's a real bridge that people really need.
Yep.
So getting this road parked underneath the railroad track at a cost of $100 million just seems like an astronomical number. So what I'm going to say, if we get this $20 million and we start spending that money, what I don't want is the city saying, like, well, we spent their money, so we sort of on the hook to get the rest of the project paid. So if us getting this $20 million kind of sets us up where we're, like, obligated to go all the way to $140 million to spend for the rest of the project, I'm going to be like, no, I don't want your money, because we're not going to get it. I don't think anyone's going to give us $140 million to build a road underneath railroad track. That's just my opinion. I hope I'm wrong. I hope someone comes out of nowhere. But that's what I really want to know. Like, if we take this money and we put it towards the design or whatever we characterize it, does that obligate us to continue to spend to get the rest to build this road?
So
I'm ready to jump in.
Jump, I know, because you were just at NLC, so
say a lot of words, and then I'll answer your question.
Okay.
A lot of words is Renton and Tukwila got into an agreement over a decade ago to get a Cross Valley corridor going besides 405, because if you've ever done a commute on 405, it's absolutely a log jam right now. When Obama came into office, they came up with federal grants to get those kinds of projects done. And it went to Renton first. And if you go stand at the end of Strander Boulevard and look down the hill, they completed their half of the project. So we went for the Tiger Grant. We got $5 million because it didn't cost that much way back then. We got the Tiger Grant. We spent about $3 million of it on the design and realized we wouldn't be able to finish the design in 5 years. That was going to cost a lot more. Why? Because there were 90 cranes downtown Seattle. All the unions were stacked with work and didn't have any bandwidth to help little cities like us. And we weren't going to be able to do it for the cost that we thought we could do it for, as it rose to $84 million. So our city, being honest and against the advice of NLC and other people, returned the money back to the federal government, all $5 million, and said, look, we can't finish this. So for the last, 4 or 5 years, we've been begging every time we go back to these congressional delegates and saying 85% of cities can't afford to get these projects done. We need to have it chunked out in pieces. So they came back with this incredible plan and signed this bill and said, we will do it so that you can just do the plan. And if that's all the farther you can go, that's all the farther you can go. But we'd like you to have it in 10, but they're not making us do any matching money. They know it's hard. And then by the next time we come back with the right information and say we're ready for step two, we can go for that grant. We're not doing an all or nothing piece. So that is what is going on here. The obligation of the city of Tukwila, the people in Tukwila pretty much won't be using this road. It'll be people who need to get to the Sound Transit Station, the 40,000 people that work at the mall, and the people that want to get across the valley without going through 405. That's the point of the project. So the answer to your question is, will we have to pay back the $20 million? As I understand it right now, no. But we do have to hit some marks, as Hari and Brittany are saying, in terms of meeting the requirements they want done by a certain amount of time. We have to show progress.
So, again, my thinking is, it sounds good that we get money. But that's all our money. So even though it comes from the federal government, it's our money. It just comes from a different pocket, right? So because I pay federal taxes like everyone else. So what's the odds? I mean, you're not going to tell me, like, what the chances of this project actually getting completed, because your goal is to get the money and just work from that position. But I can't see $140 million project for an underground bridge thing under railroad tracks being a real easy to sell to the people of Tukwila, especially how you characterize it, that they're not really going to use it all that much. Is this the only design that, I mean, like, is that the cheapest design we can get to get over a bridge or over a railroad track?
So we scaled it down.
And
we were there, and this is why the council has this policy, because this. So we have given you our assumptions, and this is purely in the council's wheelhouse. So this is your decision, council. If you choose to go on this grant, that's why we come to committees, and this is a good, healthy conversation. We appreciate it. We do, and we are looking. Staff is really coming to you for direction.
Yeah.
We are neutral on this. If the council chooses not to go forward like it did in 2019 after it got a, you know, fast lane and STP and FinZip, we did have a application in for Build. We never were successful on Build or Tiger, but we did have a fast lane grant for $5 million.
Yeah.
But it is the council's wish or not. That's why we come to committee with these grants.
Okay.
And Councilmember Sharp, those are all good hard questions about will we get this, because you gave an example of the bridge. We did not have full funding for that bridge until this last state legislative cycle.
Yep.
And on this project specifically, we went forward and the cost went forward and the council pulled back on that. So we didn't think that we were going to get those further grants. That's why this is in the council's wheelhouse.
Okay. So I guess what I would say, and this is just a comment, thank you, Ms. Robinson and Mr. Panicani, is like, I'm of the opinion, I'm not here to spend federal dollars just to spend it if I don't think we're going to get it, but it's not just left up to me. So my opinion is, if my impression is that we're going to make that magic happen to get $140 million, I would say I don't think it's doable. But I would say that it's up to the council as a whole to kind of weigh in on if they want this money. But my opinion is, it's like, I don't think we're going to get the project going at $140 million price point. But if the council or this body wants to get that money, they most certainly can. I just don't think, I'm not into spending money for it just to be like, just to spend the money and then it goes away.
I'm going to make one comment. To spend money here in Tukwila, that's federal money, yes, it's all our money, or to not get that money and let another city, say in Kansas, get that money, is why these are competitive grants. So is it better for Kansas to get it than us? How do the taxpayers feel about funding a bridge in Kansas City? My thing is, be competitive, make your applications and see if we compete and can get the money, because it benefits our region, which has massive vehicle traffic problems as it is. But I'm looking at the procedure here and it's saying our committee can do the approval. Today it's to apply for the grant. We can have a second stage, just like we did a moment ago, say we've got the grant, shall we accept the grant and have that hard decision again? But you get nothing for not trying. So that's my input, but we need to figure out if there's enough head nods of the three of us to approve applying, because she's got until April 15th to get the paperwork in.
My question is, do we need all three of us need to approve for us to get the grant money?
Two out of three can do it.
Okay.
How do you feel? Consensus from Abdi? How about you, Mr. Sharp?
If getting the money at some point, the rest of the council gets to decide how the money is spent, I'm good with it. Is that what's going to happen?
Most likely to come back to this committee, just like that other application for a grant did too.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a while for a Tiger grant or a RAISE grant to come back. There are different names for the same thing.
So getting the money doesn't mean that we're obligated to spend it if we approve it today. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
It's okay to approve to apply. The decision to accept the money is later.
Okay. Let's try to get the money then. Okay. Give us the options.
We'll just rate that as a yes.
Thank you.
Don't feel like going rogue on you guys now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Brittany. I know it's short flow.
Thank you.
Item F, Tukwila 205 Levy Certification Project, Introduction to Levies. Oh, my gosh. So we're at 10 till.
I think we're at the...
What do you think is going to happen here? And I really don't want to waste your time, but... Okay, are you comfortable coming back again next meeting? This is important stuff. I feel badly, but I really want to give it the important amount of time it deserves.
Yeah, that would be great to just postpone it to the next tick.
We're not at some threshold where we're going to miss a queue and not decide something? Okay.
No, this is for informational only. just to provide a general overview of levies and what's going on in Tukwila regarding levies. So I'm happy to present at a later date.
This is important information. Different ones of us are getting calls from Mr. Sagali, and so we might really want to bone up on what the government side of levies is about, so we understand what that private partnership might actually end up being. So I appreciate it. You're trying to bring it here.
So my with that direction, we can move it to the next Transportation Infrastructure Services Committee. If you read the memo, so you'll have 2 more weeks to have read this memo and have better questions for us. But this is a big project. This is one of the more significant capital projects that the council will be working with over the next several decades, probably.
Okay. And I only have one miscellaneous. Does anybody else have one? Very briefly, just on the 42nd Avenue Bridge, we received communications last week, at the end of the week, that we'd be opening it on the 5th. And then we got a communication this morning. Fine. You opened it today, this morning. Any reason why we were able to open it today and it didn't happen on the 5th or vice versa?
So, committee, as you know, we have a subcontractor that we're working with. It's Northwest Traffic. And the report we got from them middle of last week was they were still waiting for some locate services to locate before they could put the signs. They weren't very sure if they could finish it by Friday. And staff and we felt like we didn't want to leave it in a limbo going over the weekend. So we sent the message carefully crafted saying it will be on Tuesday. But it turns out by the end of Friday, they were able to get everything done. So, you know, we want to make sure that if we didn't open on the weekend and have, you know, calls coming through and staff were not around to answer. So for safety purposes, we opened it today. And everything works well so far. And I thank Dave DeGroote and other street crew that are here that helped and Cody Gray, their manager. Thank you.
All right. And that's it for me. That's it from anybody else. Then this meeting is adjourned, and we'll see you in about 10 minutes, everybody. Thanks.